Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Blog Talk Radio back on the air once again. Haven't been here in a long, long, long time. And what we want to do is do a program with a new person that we had come in contact with. And she's an intuitive and a psychic and a clairvoyant. As a matter of fact, she's been abducted. She's been on several spaceships and the like. She has a book out here. And the title of the book, I just had it in front of me, Call Me Xena. And it's an awesome book that you need to get a copy of it. Sally Barnhart, call me, and or call me Xena is one. Let me see if I can get it on. Sally, can you hear me? Sally, can you hear me?
Russ? Hello?
Yes. Okay. Can you,
hear me? I guess I called the wrong. Anyway, I've got the right number now. Hello.
Perfect. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. I can hear you fine. Yeah.
Okay. Loud and clear. Lisa, thank you very much for being on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. This is another system that people use all across the country, matter of fact, all across the world. So this is worldwide on the internet. It's a radio station that was set up maybe 10, 20 years ago, whatever it was, for the people who want to be on the air and do programming. So here we are. Welcome to Lights of the Night.
Thank you.
Okay,
I'm
not
excited.
A problem. Well, I am too. To have you, because we haven't talked to you before on this system, and I just want to know, basically, I have your book in front of me, Call Me Xena. Give us a rundown on Miss Sally Barnhart.
Well,
who are
basically
you? Tell us all about you.
Yeah, my story really started about 20 years ago. I actually had a dream one night, which I thought I was dreaming, but I wasn't. I was actually flying in my dream, but couldn't quite figure it out at the time. And that's where my story starts. I began to understand so much more after that had happened. I was flying all over the place, which I now know was astral projection. But also, I was abducted, and I only found out maybe 17 years on after my story that actually that what was happening to me. I believe that part of my memory had been erased somehow, and it's just beginning to come back.
Wow. That happens to people who have been abducted, the erasing the memory. They say that's an easy thing for the people who abduct us are able to do. Is that right? They erase your memory?
I absolutely, yes, I do. What I was doing, because I didn't realize I was being abducted, but I did remember part of what I was doing, which was also combined with astral projection. But I was documenting a lot of what was happening to me. When I would wake up, I would document, and that's partly, my book is actually a lot of the documentation of where I was going to at that point. I was also given a message that I could paint and draw, which is something I had never done. And today I have about 150 paintings and sketches, and a lot of them are from previous lifetimes and also of my travels.
You have that many? 150 paintings and drawings? That's a lot.
Yes, with sketches too. The early ones were sketches, but it was actually what I was seeing on my travels. I from my memory, I guess, I was in some sort of a trance, but I was sketching what I was actually seeing and visiting. But
so,
they were from lifetimes.
How can people look at some of your art? How can they view your art? How can they? Where can they go?
Well, I have a website. It's actually in the process of I'm redoing my website. So, but my book will be out very shortly, which is Call Me Xena. My website is artbysallybarnhart.com. But it's
art
kind
by
of under,
Sally
it's,
Barnhart. That's Barnard.
Barnhart.
Art by Sally Barnhart.com. Okay. And so they could view your paintings and your sketches and your drawings.
Yes,
on that.
Well, basically, I'm actually in about a month's time, I'll have many more things, many more of my art and some of what my sketches were will be up there. But they can get an idea and visit there. Yeah. So see some of what I've been doing of my the artwork a little bit. Yeah.
So when I introduced you, I said that she's a clairvoyant, a psychic, an intuitive. You have been abducted, And you had a coach. You said somebody had been guiding you, training you,
yes,
coaching you, directing you to understand all the things that you have been through, in spite of the fact that you say at one point that your memory has been erased, if you will.
Well,
so,
I probably might not have even realized that, actually, Russ, but because of the last, I would say, last 6 or 7 months, my coach passed away about a year and a half ago, who gave me many, many information on everything that I was starting to re-remember. But actually, shortly after his passing, it was becoming far more clear to me of where I had been going in my travels over the last, when I started about 18, 19 years ago. It wasn't all what I had only known was astral projection, because I was remembering more than what I'd actually documented at the time, although I had documented quite a lot. And today, it's very clear to me that I was being abducted 3 times a week for nearly a year. Because I was on space. Yeah.
That's a lot of abductions. Why do you think you were abducted so many times?
At this point, I'm still not completely sure. Some of it was combined with the astral projection, but many were abductions because I was going to many different planets at that time. I see it all very vividly now. I had over the years seen it, but it's becoming much more vivid as the years are going by. I see it more clearly.
What do you think your purpose and goals and objectives happen to be now that you have this kind of information? You were abducted?
To spread this information to as many people that I can. I understand that many people will not understand or even believe it, but for the ones that are beginning to open up, I think it's very, very important that I tell my story.
Okay. All right. In your book, we could go through various aspects of your story, because I've read your book and it was clear to me where you're going, and you talked about a lot of really serious things. But one interesting thing you did mention, that the world is an illusion. There's no such thing as time or space. We all are programmed to watch our clock, to know that we have certain space. How can you say that? I mean, what would you say to a person who says, what are you talking about? There's no such thing as time. What would you say to that?
Totally understand that someone would ask that question, because when I first became privy to that kind of information, I was questioning myself. I said to myself, how is this possible? But from everything that I've experienced over the years, I'm beginning to understand this, and it's coming more clear. But one thing that I had going for me that maybe helped me tremendously is that I was beginning to paint, but not only was I painting, I was writing prose and poetry, and I'm talking about just this subject without knowingly that I even knew about this, what we call the illusion. So I began to understand and study this more with my coach at that time. When I was ready to hear it, he explained to me that we are somewhere else. I mean, it would take a long time and perhaps another whole half an hour of a show to even begin to say what I was beginning to understand. But because we're somewhere else, this, to me, we have a higher self that's somewhere, and we're play acting here. And
wow.
One very good saying that Shakespeare actually tried to explain this was, if all the world was a stage and we're merely, I believe, players, that's what he said. And those words are very true to me today. I see that we're just presenting a play that would be suitable for us in each lifetime, because I believe in previous lifetimes, of course.
You say you do believe in previous lifetimes. How many times have you been incarnated here?
Well, I can't be tell you for sure, because I honestly don't have the exact number, but I believe that I have been back, which they would call an old soul. I have been back to this particular planet, because I believe in many different planets, many, many times. And the world, as I know it, is not 5,000 years or what they say. It goes back way beyond there. So I would say maybe 1,000 times I've been back.
That many times? That's a lot. That's a lot.
I think so, because I'm comprehending so much today. excuse me, of things that I have not learned, even in a couple of lifetimes, coming back. A lot of my past lifetimes are coming back to me. So if they're coming back. Sure, I've got many that I'm not coming back at the moment, that I've been on, you know, had many more.
Right. Here's a big question. I mean, this is serious.
Okay.
We are on a difficult planet. I mean, to be born, you know, come through the fallopian tube, right? You have to climb up the fallopian tube. You have to hit the egg, right? All right.
Mm-hmm.
When the spermatozoa, right?
Yes.
There are 400 million of them going up the fallopian tube out of the sperm that, that was secreted, right? One, generally, on average, one hits the fallopian tube. The rest die out. So out of 400 million people, you hear, now you got to rest for a while, for 90 months, and then you got to be born. Then once you're born, you got to figure out how to walk, how to talk, how to breathe, how to see and talk and the whole nine yards, you know, you crawl for a while. And then you get, and let's skip 70 or 80 years down the road. Then you leave here, sometimes in a lot of pain or whatever. Why would you do that over and over again?
Because we're here to experience and learn. And I can't tell you that it gets easier over lifetimes. I believe it actually gets harder, but that's our choice too. You know, and the fact that it is difficult to even arrive here, I would say only the strongest of us are going to be making it, although it doesn't seem that way. We have to be pretty strong to have survived everything you just explained just now, Russ. You see that? So we can do it. We can do it, and we continue to do that over and over. Part of what I'm talking, I just to explain to the viewers, I do channel. I have a collective, and I channel through them, and that was their answer just now. You have to be pretty strong.
So you channel, you are psychic and intuitive, clairvoyant, a contactee because you had a coach, and you've been abducted a number of times.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
I have.
So you've been through a lot.
Yes, I have. But I tell you, honestly, I would not change this. I am ready to tell the world about my experiences. Obviously, I'm going to get a lot of people that are not going to even want to listen or believe it. But for the ones that do, I need to carry this message forward. It's very, very important. Very important.
Why are you insisting on sharing the message? I just don't get this.
Yes, because this needs to be available for people that I'm not the only one to have experienced what I'm experiencing. There are other people. And if I had not had someone come to greet me when I started to open up and I started my first travel, I don't know where I would have ended up. I needed help. I didn't know that. And it took 18 years. He passed about 16 months ago, 17 months ago, my helper, but he never ever let me. If I had questions, I had someone to speak to. And I believe today there are many people still out there like me who need some help with this to understand what is happening. It's our choice, but they don't know that it, you know, they don't remember a lot. They need help. I had never heard of astral traveling or astral projection when it happened to me. I don't know what would have happened if my coach at that time had not arrived the next day to tell me what was happening. I was very fortunate. I chose it. I believe we choose our illusion. But I had never wanted to, I didn't have to, well, I read, but I didn't need to. I had someone physically telling me what was going on in this lifetime.
You also indicated that you were an abductee.
Yes.
How many times have you said, three times a week for a year?
Yes, for three, and I documented this as it was happening, but I don't think I didn't document everything. Not everyone was an abduction. I was flying into different places. That was when I was visually looking where I was going and not talking, but many, many of my travels, and that's what woke me up to the fact that I was being abducted, I was talking on spacecraft to people. Well, you don't necessarily do that when you're projecting. You go to a particular place. I'm having conversations which I do write in my book too. I was asking them questions. Where was I? What was happening? So they were friendly. It was friendly abductions that I on my show too, that I say that it was friendly abductions. I never had a problem at all with anyone, as far as I can remember.
Okay. You know, Whitney Strieffer, who wrote The Chameleon, and I don't know whether any person has read the book or there are people who might have watched the motion picture, Chameleon, right?
Huh?
Some people had a problem with that. When I look at another picture, I think you, I don't know if you, have you seen The Fourth Kind?
I have seen a lot of them.
Okay.
I mean, I watched Star Trek. I loved it. I felt very, I wanted to know, and that's kind of close to the truth.
Okay.
And they visit all these planets.
But the Fourth Kind was one that was done by a psychiatrist out of Nome, Alaska. I don't know whether you watched that motion picture. Have you seen that one?
No, I have not. Mm-hmm.
I would suggest whenever you get a chance, just watch it for me. Would you?
I will. Can you give me the title again?
The Fourth Kind.
Yes. No, I haven't watched it, but I actually will. Absolutely.
You can even Google that. There's another one called Fire in the Sky about the Walton abduction. Seven guys who were in the woods, and they abducted one of them out of the six and kept him for 4 or 5 days.
Okay, I will watch that.
That motion picture is called Fire in the Sky. Fire in the Sky.
Fire in the Sky. I will remember that too. The Fourth Kind of Fire in the Sky. Thank you, Ron. I watch Gaia a lot, where I do see, I don't feel that I'm alone with this, because there are very credible people that have been abducted. And I can relate to some of the things that they're saying. So I'm not alone with this.
Yeah, Gaia is a television program like Cosmic Connections and Ancient Aliens and all of that, right?
Correct. Yes, Gaia TV.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Gaia TV, okay. And if you can go to GAIA, you can go to Amazon and get a subscription for Gaia and watch as many
it doesn't just necessarily be about this. They have a lot of shows that are extremely interesting about spiritual experiences that people have had. Right now, very interested on the abductions. Yes.
Okay. Do you remember? I'll call a couple other names: George Norrie or Art Bell. Do you remember those two names?
Yes, I do. I believe Art Bell, actually, I listened to way before this had actually happened to me. This was quite a long time ago, I believe he was on the air, correct? No,
right,
I think
quite a long. He's gone now, but he has millions and millions of people listening on a program called Coast to Coast late at night.
Coast to Coast.
As a matter of fact, let me do this. Since we're talking about abductions, let me take just a few minutes. And here's a clip from one of his programs, Art Bell.
Interviewing
a person on Coast to Coast.
Insect-like ones simply do not tell their motivations. And when sometimes people ask hubrids, why are you here? You know, what's the point of all this? They'll say, my job, my task is to live here. That's all I know. That's all they know. They don't know, in other words.
God. You know, what you have said is so astounding. A master race that is capable of mind control. We don't yet know their motives, but they're probably ultimately not good. I mean, they've got something they want to do. I have not yet seen the hubrids, as it were, improve our lives in any way.
Well, I think it's still fairly early on, and before we begin to understand that something else is going on. Here's one generalization you can make about the aliens, and this is a large generalization, but it's probably accurate. Doing this, planetary acquisition as I call it, in some way benefits them.
Okay.
Hmm. What, that's interesting.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. The gentleman said it benefits them.
Right.
What kind of benefit would they get to make to? But let me for new people, really new people.
Okay.
What is a hybrid, and how are hybrids made?
Well, they, as best I can tell, I don't have a lot of memory of this happening to me, but I do believe it, absolutely believe that this is going on. They abduct if they're a woman of childbearing, well, not necessarily, because what we have is age. It may be we could still be older and still have this done to us. They implant a seed, and the baby actually is born. They take the baby, but sometimes the baby is also born here. So it's born where they are, and they keep a child, or vice versa. The child is born here. The child will be different. It will be part what we would call alien and human. But they're able to do that. Child would be very knowing, would understand a lot. The child not necessarily knows, but it will be very aware of things that are going on that us as humans here are not aware. So it becomes very psychic in many ways. There's many different ways that you can tell if this is a hybrid child.
I see. What would they look like, the hybrid kids?
Similar to us. They don't look unsimilar. You really, you know, you could have met hybrid children that are into adults. You wouldn't necessarily know that, but you would by a conversation that they were having. You know, if you start talking about this type of thing, they'll be very knowing, very knowing, because they're of mixed race, so to speak.
So they're mixed with aliens, if I may call it the reptilians or greys or Nordics or
right.
whatever else, you know,
yeah.
aliens. They're mixed with alien and mixed with a human being.
Yes.
Well, isn't there
yes.
something in the Bible that talks about that years and years ago in Genesis?
Yes.
What does that say? What does that say?
I'm going to ask you. Yes. Well, this happened going back thousands and thousands of years because there were aliens, let's call them, off-planet aliens that came down here. And they actually mixed with humans here. So they were actually having children by the aliens that came down from their planet. So now we have a variety of different types of humans here. They were able to do that. Not everyone can do that because you've got to have a certain DNA too here in order to have the person, the woman that is having this, has to have a certain type of DNA for the egg to be able to take place and for a child, for a human to be born. So as far as I know, I haven't heard many people come up with that theory, but I believe that. I believe that.
Well, you say it's in the Bible in Genesis. I don't have it in front of me. I should have.
It is, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It talks about the gods of the sky or whatever it is mixed with the women of the human beings here, down here on Earth, and having children in Genesis.
Correct.
So somebody can
yes.
Google that and pull that up. Okay. So
yes.
The gentleman had said, what purpose is it to have, for them to do that? Do you know their purpose, their goals, objectives?
Well, in the very beginning, yes. And they were so cool. What they were having were, their planet was in trouble. The planet that this particular planet at this time was in trouble, and they knew they wanted gold, which our planet here as Earth had the gold that they needed to take back to their planet. So to describe this or tell the story very, very briefly is that they came down and they started to mine this gold. And this happened over many, many years, but they were tired. They wanted more. They wanted the people here to be able to do their work for them, so to speak, so that they could just take it up to their planet. So they found a way in which they could do this by interbreeding, so to speak, with these humans, and they were able to do their work and then take their gold up to their planet. This did not happen overnight. It took a lot in time, but, you know, you have to put it into time here. So it may have taken many, many, many years to do this, but now they have a race of people that are actually working for them here.
And that goes back to I believe it's a
planet. Yes, Zachariah Sitchin writes of this.
And he documents all of that. He's a scholar.
And actually, Zacharias, there are, which he also wrote a book, I think, The Tablets. This is written on tablets, this whole story. And yet people don't, you know, it's hard. They just don't understand or read this. It's in one of the museums in London. I'm from England. And I'm not sure if it's in the National History Museum or I'm not sure, one of the history museums, where they've actually got the clay tablets where they wrote this story upon. They wrote this story. So it's in writing. But
okay.
Not as we know it. You know, there's a book out about that.
Okay. So when you talk about the Harvard people, children, if you like. But by the way, there's a website, www.harvardchildrencommunity.com, if anyone wants to go there. And to see that they're talking about bringing the recent developed, created, if you will, hybrids to the planet to mix in with the population as a whole. Why would that continue to happen? We're talking about 400,000 years ago when you say the Anunnaki came in and mixed with us and made the human being. Why the continuation of that today?
Well, from what I'm feeling, and again I get channeled, they are mixing with us so that these stories need to come out a lot. And for the ones that can tell the stories, I would say they're coming down. We have other types. There's like the indigo children. There are many, many different types of children that are being born here with the knowing. I call it knowing because it's not necessarily knowledge. The knowledge comes from books, and a lot of this is not written in books. So it's an inner knowing that they're having that they want to spread now upon our earth, because our earth is in trouble and we need help, and they're coming to help us actually. A lot of the children coming in, not all of them, but a lot of them are.
So how will they communicate? Will they talk like us? Will they use telepathy?
Yeah.
Will they use remote viewing? Will they be clairvoyants? Will they be channelers? What intuitives?
That's a great question, Russ, because it's difficult to tell the difference. But you're absolutely, by everything that you just pointed out, yes, they are telepathic. Many different ways that they can pass this on. They will know it's like, You know, it's in you. You know the answers to things. They can be channeled. They are being spoken to from a different, let's say, from a different way through telepathy. They see things. They hear things. That a lot of them can be inventors. They're inventing certain things. They have been coming down for many, many years. If you take some of the inventors, a lot of their knowledge is that technology is being inbred and is being told by them. But it's only the ones that hear the telepathy that can go forward with these new ideas. If you don't have this, hear them.
Right. We've heard the phrase, I guess, for some people, the indigo star kids. So is that what we're talking about? They're in that whole category?
They're part of it. There are others that we're not even aware of. But yes, these children, the children coming in now, there is a lot, but not compared to the whole world, let's say, are coming in with a lot of knowing today to help this planet. I believe the majority, I can't say all because they're not all good, but a lot of these abductions that we're having are to help us, actually. They want to help us not to destruct ourselves, to blow ourselves up, because ultimately that hurts their planet. So the atmosphere that goes up with all this nuclear, we're comparatively a new planet compared to some of these planets that I'm talking about, but they don't want us to basically self-destruct.
Uh-huh. So we need help.
We need a lot of help. A lot of help, yes, we do.
Here's another clip from one of the programs that was talking about years ago, Art Bell.
Okay.
She's just honest. She's an honest person. Everybody I've worked with who's in this book has been an absolutely rigorously honest person. And here's something else that people have to understand. people come to me who are high-functioning people, who I mentioned before, you know, university professors and
yes.
psychiatrists and psychologists and medical professionals and all that. And they're coming to me to examine their abduction experiences, knowing full well that if anybody finds out about this, it would destroy their careers. Absolutely, positively, without question.
Mm-hmm.
All a psychiatrist has to say is, I've been abducted by little gray men from another planet. That's all they got to say if they don't ever want to work in the mental health field again.
That's right.
And so, therefore, there's no reason whatsoever to come to me at all and take the chance that I myself am some sort of goofball who's gonna use their real names and set it right to the New York Times or something like that. But they're taking that chance because they desperately will want to know what has been happening to them throughout the course of their entire lives, and they can't figure it out, and they need to have help by a person who can help them figure it out.
Yeah, I believe that's Dr. Mack. He was on the professor.
I definitely can relate to that. That's very, very interesting what he was talking about, because
right.
I've had similar experiences myself, so I see that, and that's what I'm here to help also as best I can, someone
so
going through this.
You willing to be chided and cast aside and made fun of?
Yeah. It's part of what I'm doing, absolutely. I came out with my story going to different planets originally about 18, 17 years ago. Today it's much more acceptable. And I'm sure people read my book that was out at that time saying, she's crazy. But I knew this had happened to me. And for the ones that might have had an interest and it maybe happened to them, I'm helping them. I can't help the ones that don't believe me. They don't believe me. I know what happened to me.
It's a big subject. Now, I just want to get back to this one other quick thing before we kind of wrap up in a minute or two. I didn't want to keep you very long. But you did talk about the Anunnaki. So that they came here because they had problems with Nibiru. What was the name of the planet? Planet X? Called
Nibiru.
Nibiru?
Right. Nibiru is the name of the
okay.
planet, yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Seller, Michael Seller,
right?
People who, he's a very accomplished researcher, writer, very prolific. He has a statement that you can comment after I play this clip. It's a rather long clip, but it's a nice clip.
Night, I connected to Thorhan, and he showed me that he was on the Nibiru ship taking care of an operation of transfer of medical holographic technologies onto a Galactic Federation of Worlds vessel. He was wearing an environmental suit. They were in a cargo bay of the Nibiru ship. I could glimpse the quick vision of a large oval aperture opening onto space. Thorhan was watching the Galactic Federation of Worlds personnel loading the technologies on board the Galactic Federation vessel. They were about to leave and bring this to Luna, which is developing into a medical hub. I asked Thorhan if he had met Enki. He said no, that he dealt with the Nibiru crew. This made me realize that, of course, Enki is not on his own in this huge spherical ship. There is a whole Anunnaki crew as well. End quote. I have previously discussed the collaboration between the Galactic Federation of Worlds and the Earth Alliance in developing advanced technologies for the defense, transportation, and medical industries that will eventually be released. According to several sources, these technologies are allegedly being mass-produced on retrofitted facilities on the moon. The timing of the release of these holographic medical technologies is dependent on the deep state being removed from power. This raises the question of whether Enki's gift is a Trojan horse for an unknown agenda, as proposed by some skeptics. Historical texts such as the Atrahasis clearly depict Enki as playing the key role in creating modern Homo sapiens and being humanity's protector from a rival Anunnaki faction led by Enlil, his half-brother, who regarded humans as a threat. In his book, Escaping from Eden, Paul Wallace describes several instances where the Elohim, also known as the Anunnaki, felt threatened by humanity's potential and took dramatic actions to limit our development, as exemplified in stories of the Great Flood and Tower of Babel. Significantly, Enki was either opposed to or was not involved in these instances
of the Anunnaki / Elohim stepping in to stop or impede you.
I guess I didn't want to play too much. It goes on and on and on.
Oh, that was really interesting. Very interesting. Right.
Okay. Could you explain some of that to us? Because we just don't know that part of history.
Well, again, this would take a little bit of time, but to mention Enki and his brother Enlil, these were two brothers, but they both, Enki was here to help Earth. Enlil was not, so they fought continuously. But through that, what you just actually played has a lot of the information of the various things that have happened here on Earth. Enki wanted to help Earth very much, and he continued to do so. And they came down in spaceships, but that wasn't, you know, then the story really starts, because there was a lot of problems here, and they fought a lot. It's hard to explain it in just a few minutes, Russ, but it's very interesting, real.
All right. Maybe we need to do a show on that one of these days. I just wanted to. I think that's a little advanced in terms of where we're starting. I didn't want to go.
It is. No,
it's so
fine. I'm absolutely happy to do so. A lot of my information, although I understand a lot today, is being channeled to me. So anything that maybe someone wants to know, or a viewer, or yourself, if to ask me a question, I can tune in to a collective that is very privy to this information, plus my guide who has passed, who helps me too.
Okay. Your guide came to you when, and what were the goals and objectives of your guide finding you? And
right.
What did he want you to do in this lifetime? Your guide.
His work throughout the time that he was here with me, which was close to 18 years, until 2 weeks before he actually passed, he gave me a lot of information, and he said to me, I was able to understand it, but he said, please be my mouthpiece. He did not talk very much. He would not have gone onto a radio show, but he realized, not there's anything wrong with radio shows, which I love, because we can impart a lot of our information, but he wanted me to carry the message for him, which I am continuing doing after his passing, which was about 16, 17 months ago now. I hear him, I see him, he gives me messages. It did not stop because he's not physically here on this earth. He gave me so much information over those 18 years to let me know who I was, that I understood this from previous lifetimes, and he helped my memory in this lifetime to begin to remember again.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've covered a lot of territory, because from abductions to Enki to then Anunnaki.
Right.
I didn't want to go too deep, because some people are saying that at this various moment, listen, let me turn this off. This is crazy. I never heard anything like this, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I understand that completely.
You do. So we don't want to beat them over the head too much, but we do want to get this information out as you see things, as you were trained, as you were told, and as you were, you know, doing your research with Zachariah Sitchin's, with Sylvia Brown, with Edgar Casey, and even Robert Monroe.
David Icke is very, very good at this. If you listen to him, he talks a lot. He became very spiritual, but very interested in all that we're talking about and the people that we are up against that may not want us to have this information, good or bad. It's okay. But the thing is to keep an open mind. It is out there. I'm not the only one talking this way.
Well, okay. Well, the Pentagon kind of opened the door 6 or 7 or 8 months ago, whatever it was, and they have said that up until this time in history, the government has categorically denied anything about a spaceship abduction, that my labs, whatever, they denied all of this, remote viewing, mental telepathy,
right,
psychokinesis, that any of that stuff exists, right? Right?
Exactly. Yes, they have. Absolutely.
Okay, why all of a sudden are we talking about spaceships? Are we talking about abductions?
Well, be sure, but what I am going to say, I mean, over even the last 18 years since I came out with the fact that I've been traveling to planets, more and more information is coming out. And I think, in fact, I heard you one time say this, it's called what we call a soft disclosure, because there will be mass hysteria if it all comes out altogether with no disclosure at all. So I believe that now is the time to start disclosing. Again, as my guide used to say to me, little by little, but to get our brain, so to speak, into understanding a little bit more. Perhaps there is more out there because people like myself, or you know, we're coming forward more. And there are many, many people that are very credible, because we need to disclose this. We are not alone. And, you know, and the more that we see this and we're so-called programming into understanding this and taking away the thought that we are alone and nothing exists that we're talking about, it's not helping us. We need to know this. We need to wake up to this. We need to help people understand this. And that's part of what I feel that I'm ready to do. I'm in the latter part of my life, but I want to expose and have this disclosure of what's happened to me as much as I can to help other people. There are more people ready to come out with this. It's needed. It's wanted. It's important.
For people to think a little bit differently, I guess you might want to say that.
Well,
we
yes,
are...
we say box, you know, there are a little, but we're not alone. There is a lot of, I mean, we're not alone with people here. There are a lot of people that are astral projecting, that are being abducted, that remember a lot of these things, that they're frightened, and it's hurting them because they don't know what's going on. We need people to explain, not just myself. I couldn't do this with it. I need other people. There is a lot of people to explain that this is okay. Talk about it. Help us. Which I hopefully am doing just now, even on this program now.
Right, right. Let me get to this next question.
Okay.
But before I get to the question, abductions, spaceships, other entities being on the planet Earth, some are malevolent, some are benevolent. Who knows, you know, I mean, we can have that discussion one day, but let me do this clip about abductions and spaceships right now.
Okay.
On at least 6 space missions, United States astronauts have encountered UFOs. Journalist Frank Edwards records the following incident.
As Major Cooper was making his final orbit of the Earth in May of 1963, he was approaching Perth, Australia. Suddenly, Major Cooper radioed down to the tracking station that he was being approached by a greenish glowing disc with a faint red glow on one side. It was traveling east to west, which no man-made satellite does. 200 persons at the tracking station watched the object on the gear there. They saw it approach Cooper, then it veered away from him and sped on out into space. It was only the first of many such cases. Every American astronaut since Gordon Cooper has also been approached by unidentified flying objects. And each time the UFOs come closer to the astronauts, and each time they remain a little longer. In 1965, Major Edward McDivitt photographed one of these objects near the capsule in which he was orbiting the Earth over the Pacific Ocean. And the photograph, as released by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, clearly shows a bright, egg-shaped thing which leaves a visible trail from its propulsion system. The more we study the evidence that is being assembled all over the Earth, the more inescapable the conclusion that man had best prepare himself for the greatest event in human history. The realization that we are about to contact, or to be contacted by, sentient beings from elsewhere in the universe. The late General Douglas MacArthur said that this confrontation would be the greatest challenge man ever had to face. Are we ready for it when and if it comes? Frank Edwards reporting.
So, what do you think?
Yeah.
Are we ready for the fact that there are aliens in the vastness of the universe with technology, intelligence, spiritual development?
Yeah.
Constructs more superior than ours. Maybe they may be hundreds of thousands of years ahead of us. I mean, that's very possible, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. And they're imparting their technology. A lot of these, I mean, if you think about it, over the last 50 years with technology, look how quickly we've advanced. And who knows what's in the future, things we've not heard of yet. But it just takes this last few years. They are giving us information. They're giving it to the people that can hear them, telepathy, and they're showing themselves. They are giving us this information. I mean, from what I believe, I totally believe that. But disclosure has to be done carefully. But we saying things that what's happened to me and all the other people, if they come forward, which many, many people are, and this was, I believe, in 1960. I'm not sure when the clip that you just ran. But over the years, they're coming, more and more people are coming forward with this information. So eventually, when we really have this real disclosure on this, not little bits, but that people, that everyone is talking about it, it may not be this chaos that there would happen if they had not heard anything. It would be, we have to do it. We have to do it gradually, though, and carefully.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about it gradually, just a wee bit. In 1938, all documented, that Orson Welles had a radio show called War of the Worlds. Do you remember any of that?
I know that he knew a lot.
Not a problem.
No, I didn't. Right.
So when you get a chance, Google War of the Worlds, 1938, which is before the Second World War. And you see that he had a radio show, and when he put on the show that aliens were here visiting us, people panicked in the streets. Some people committed suicide. Some people just ran out of houses, jumped out of windows, whatever. And I think the decision was made way back when that if the government of the world, United States, England, France, wherever, discovered that there were entities different than we are. Don't tell the people, because we were frightening them to death and they would go bananas.
Right.
They couldn't handle it. From 1938 to now, what is different?
Well, a lot has happened since then.
Okay.
I wasn't aware were telling me, but I can see mass chaos, obviously. More and more, we are doing it gradually. We do it in movies that we have today. I'm even taking the program that I used to watch for many years with Star Trek. We, even though it's not real, so to speak, it is. So more and more people are getting slightly accustomed to the fact that we are not on our own. As you say, and this was, you say, in the 1930s this happened. Yeah, I can see that happening if they thought it was real then. But over the last, say, 80 years or 70 years, I don't know, we're disclosing more and more. Although it may be fictional, it's still coming out. There's many, many things coming out. And the people that have the truth that has happened to them are talking now. They are definitely talking. I think, and this is just me thinking this, people that, you know, we're getting... As you get older, I mean, maybe they were sworn to secrecy, but as the years go by, and let's say you're in, a lot of people are, not everyone, are in their 80s and 90s coming out with it. They're thinking, well, let's do it. How many more years do I have? Let me help the people that are now beginning to understand this, that are younger, to the younger generation. That's just my theory a little bit, because not everybody's younger, but they don't care anymore. I mean, we maybe call them whistleblowers, which they do on some of the programs, but that's okay. They need to tell the truth. But they need to do it gradually. And the fact that we're coming more and more into people understanding it, more and more people are coming out with the same type of story. How do you do that when they don't know each other?
Right, right. So basically, two things we have established about you, that you say that you were abducted many, many, many times. Two, that you're incarnated, that you have been born here on Earth. You have left a number of times, come back again, come back again, come back again, right?
Right.
You're also saying that you have the ability to talk to people on the other side. You are clairvoyant. You are psychic. You are intuitive. You are contacting. You talk to people.
Yeah.
What do people think of you then, in the general sense of all these different things that most people do or won't do or don't see themselves doing, to be remote viewing or to do telepathy? What do you think?
What do they think of me? Okay, I'm just really coming out with this abduction. I had Aldo to talk to, who understood me, who actually found me in this lifetime. So he also did this little by little with me. But it's since his passing, although I had written the book, that I'm becoming more and more, let's say, talkative about this, because I'm believing it's very important. Today, it's okay what people think. When they're ready, and I may be reaching the ones that are ready, I have to be true to myself. And I hear that over and over, whether they're telling me it or I'm telling myself. This is who I am today. If you don't understand it, that's okay. If you understand it, I'm here to help you, whoever it is that wants to contact me. I don't have all the answers, Russ, but I have a lot of answers to help people on their journey. And I want to continue doing that for the rest of the remainder of my life. I have to be grounded here. I'm still on earth. And I like the good things that we have to offer here, but this is also who I am. It's very important for me to get my word out. Very important to me.
Okay. My question of you is, these are challenging times. You know, we have the political parties or at each other's throat. Nobody can have a decent conversation without being attacked, if you will.
Right.
People don't seem to be getting along together. People are shooting people down in the streets. People are committing heinous crimes in the communities. Where are we going with all of this? What's happening?
Well, it's not good. And I'll be the first person to say that. So there's a lot, you know, it's Aldo, that was my guide here. His name was Aldo. He used to say divide and conquer. And there's a lot of that happening right now, because let's say there's the light and the dark. And the dark, it's needed. We need balance. So I don't want to scare people, but they seem to be taking over a lot right now. We need some sort of balance here. You know, it's tipped very much to the negative, let's say, right now. So we need as many people that this is happening to come forward to show that there is so much more. Hopefully, and I don't know, I don't see this, the future as far as this goes, I have not had predictions. I can feel certain things are going to happen. But we need to wake up to the fact that we're damaging Earth. That's my message for today, really. We're damaging this Earth. So if we can wake up to more things that are going on around us, that we can help in many ways, that there are people off this planet that are going to help us, let's listen. Let's listen to one another. Let's try and pull through this together and help the Earth as it is. It needs help.
Well, I would say yes. But you also are giving us a message that there is the good. And one of these days we talk about the Illuminati or the Dracos or the Bilderbergers and all of that. I mean, that's a whole nother half an hour, 2 hours discussion. So we have that. And then we have, on the other hand, people like Krishna and Buddha and Jesus, Baha'u'llah and Zoroaster, Mohammed. That's the opposite, would you say?
Yes, absolutely, because because of that balance. So we have to be kind of neutral and go through this and weigh each side. I can't say we're going to fight them and wipe them out, because I don't know. But we have to see more. We have to wake up to more. We need to help one another. Through positive energy, we're vibrational energy. So the more positivity that we can put out here on the earth, even if people don't believe this, try to be positive, because this is what we need. We need that positive vibrational energy. Very, very important. can't talk about it all right now, obviously, but I would like to do more of another show about that.
Of course.
The positivity, it's very important. That's my message, I think, for right now, is to be positive as best you can with all this chaos going on in this world. It's not good. But
all right. For people who are brand new to all of this, you know, sometimes they say people have already been programmed, you know, like they love Jerry Springer. I love Lucy,
right.
Judge Joe Brown, whomever, you know, Gilligan's Island, whatever, you know, whatever they like.
Right.
So that's where they are. And now you bring in all this other stuff, you know, this Avatar and the Matrix and this other strange stuff. That's a lot to take in,
isn't
it?
The good thing is out there. You just mentioned a couple of the movies, which are great for people to watch. So they're comfortable. We stay where we're comfortable, Russ, as you know that. So people are just comfortable doing their working, coming home, seeing maybe I Love Lucy because it was funny. And they're not thinking beyond that, which is okay. I'm not here to criticize that. But there are people that may want to go a little bit deeper and say, okay, now this is all good. Maybe I'm going to step out of my comfort zone just a little bit, and see what else is going on underneath all this. There is more going on. And that's what hopefully I'm hoping to do, right?
All right. We only have a couple of minutes left, but I just wanted to kind of approach the subject cautiously, carefully. And here's a clip in closing, and you can comment on this, and we'll close. One second.
Okay.
Here we go.
Well, I remember, Professor, a lot of movies that have dealt with invasions have featured people like yourself who have realized what's going on and have tried to tell people what's going on and generally have been roundly ostracized by those that, you know, you've told. For example, let me ask, have you run this by any of your colleagues?
Well, here's the thing about academics. When it comes to UFO abductions,
yes.
Let me start with scientists first.
Okay.
You know, scientists have discovered something that goes faster than the speed of light. And what that something is the speed at which they get stupid when they talk about abductions. It happens faster than the speed of light. It's a miracle. And academics in general are pretty much like that. I've only had two people in teaching at Temple from 1975 to 2011. I only had two people who ever engaged me in conversation about the subject. Both of them were in the liberal arts. Not a single scientist, not a physicist, an astronomer, a chemist, not a single scientist at Temple University in 37 years I was there, or whatever it was, asked me, Jacobs, what the hell is all this about? What's going on? What's the matter with you? Are you nuts? Not a single person said that to me. Not one ever.
Okay, you got that.
That was very interesting.
So you can relate to him?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
As a professor at a major university talking about aliens and abductions and grays and Nordics.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate you being on with us. A parting comment? As we close the program, you have a parting comment for us today?
Go here, and hopefully there are some people that are listening in the audience that can relate to some of what I'm saying, and I can only tell them, go with it, you know, break out of your comfort zone. I'm not going to say that you need to do this 24 hours a day, but just open up your mind a little bit and just see that maybe there is something else. That's what I started to do, and here I am today, 18 years later.
Wow.
I would. Wouldn't change.
Any motion picture, any television show, any book they should pick up?
Yes, anything that you feel, you know, as you mentioned, The Matrix, that's very good. And Inception is very good, if I remember. I saw that a few years ago. It is out there. Avatar just came out again with another movie, Avatar and something to do with the water. A lot of them have messages, but you're not even going to notice the messages if you don't understand it a little bit. But what I am noticing, and I'm glad you asked me this question, the movies that do come out, let's take The Matrix, a lot of people, this is really interesting, a lot of people are drawn to these movies, but they don't know why. That's very interesting. That's important, because deep down we have a memory. So we're drawn to this type of movie. We love it. We may not understand it because it's presented as fiction. But there's truth in that. I think we're craving this type of truth.
Okay.
That's how I'd like to see this. I mean, I have no proof of that, but that's what I feel.
Well,
only by what I'm just saying.
Well, we've been on for an hour, even a little past the hour, but I just wanted to, in the first program with you, to kind of introduce you to the people that you are Zena, call me Zena. And Sally Barnard is your name, A True Story, and To the Unknown by Sally Barnard is one of the books that you have out. And you are presently putting another book together. Could you tell us a little bit about that before you go?
Yes, I am. The one that's out now is Call Me Zena, but this was written 18 years ago or 17 years ago, I'd say. I'm now putting out another book that should be available in about 2 months. That's going to have much more of my journey. This was mainly some of my travels, which I now see were abductions too. I have some poetry in there. I have my art. I was told to paint some of my drawings. I had never had an art lesson. However, I have a lot of paintings today from previous lifetimes. I've seen things that I'm bringing into this lifetime. So, yeah, my next book will have more about me and how all this really came about. Because I guess 18 years ago, I didn't really understand myself at that time. Obviously, 18 years later, I understand much more, so I'm able to write this book.
Okay. So for people who want to, between now and the next time they hear you, what is your website?
Well,
and how can they contact you? You have an email address?
Right. I will have much more. Eventually, I just, you know, because I just started really coming really more public with this, because I have a show that's called Call Me Zena that they can listen to on a Monday at 3:00. It's on Facebook, but now I think I'm on YouTube too. It's a call-in show. Not sure of the number offhand, but they can call in, but they can listen to recordings of that show. If you go into Call Me Zena on Facebook, if I have Facebook viewers, I have a following there, they can listen to pre-recordings of what I have done over the last 6 months now. And I'll have more information the next time with my website and everything, because I'm in the process of getting it all together again.
Well, thank you for spending a lot of time with us today and to just go with some basic things, and that's what people need. They need the basics first before they delve into changing their own constructs in terms of how they think of themselves and the world and the universe, where billions and millions and trillions of planets and stars and interesting times.
I can give you an email address if anybody wants to know a little more, and they can email
me.
Sally Barnard, Sally. Barnard 1111@gmail.com.
Okay. Well, Sally, we really appreciate you, and thank you very much for spending some time with us, and we wish you the best
of
luck. And we'll see you next
time.
Okay. Okay. Be good to
you
as well. Bye.